prophecy is upon us.
Yes, here we are, folks, back again for yet another episode of EBN Special Report. Thank you all for tuning in. I just got to start out by saying that if you're an emotional individual, this show probably is not for you. If you're a sympathizer, this show is probably not for you. If you're a liberal, this show is probably not for you, because seriously, honestly, no lie, right off the bat, I've had it up to my gills with everything that I have been seeing in our media around me and conversations. I am full. I am maxed out of my patience. I'm upset. I'm tired of it. I am sick and tired of it. And it's been festering with me all week. Just the last couple of days, I've been thinking about this show and what am I going to talk about? How am I going to talk about it? And I figured I'm just going to go right from the gut. I got to speak right from the gut, because I can't take what I'm seeing anymore. I'm tired of reading these sympathizers. I'm tired of reading what these liberals are saying. I'm tired of the way that people are justifying the actions of these thugs. So there's a lot to talk about in a little bit of time. I just got to say really quick, I do appreciate all those that have been listening to EBN Special Report, and of course, all those that have been listening to the podcast. You can go to ebntalkradio.net. I have past shows on there. All the information on how you can listen to this show, whether it be through a cell phone, whether it be through a stream of many options, but just go to ebntalkradio.net. All the information is right there. Facebook information, Twitter information, and all that fun stuff. So we're going to get right to it. So before I came onto this show, before I started tonight, I ran across an article regarding the Pope. Yes, all hail the Pope, the Almighty, the Speaker of God, the representative, the only one that can talk to God and filter his message to us. Well, he made a comment about guns, and of course, he's trying to appease the emotional liberal crowd, and because so many people are so upset because of the gun situation, so he thought it would be very important to come forward and start knocking gun owners to their knees. So what were a couple things that he was saying? Well, let me pull up a couple things here. So Pope Francis, all hail the Pope. Pope says weapon manufacturers can't call themselves Christians. Okay, digest that for a second, because there's another one. The Pope condemns as hypocrites those who make weapons or profit from them. And he states gun manufacturers are merchants of death. Yes, folks. Gun manufacturers are merchants of death. Now, this is coming from the Pope. This is coming from the Catholic Church. Now, if I would have had a little more time, I probably would have put some numbers together for you. But let's go back and think about something here. Do you really not see the hypocrisy in what is just happening with the Pope coming forward and saying what he just said? How many people since the birth of Christianity had died under the sword of God? How many religious wars have happened on this planet? We probably could not get an accurate number, because there has been so many of them. Millions upon millions upon millions of people have been massacred because of a religious belief. And now the Pope, who represents the Catholic Church, who represents the Vatican Bank, the richest bank in the world, the Pope, who urges people to help feed the hungry, but yet never gives a dime to feed them, The Pope that urges you to give them as much of your hard-earned money as possible to his church is coming forward now and crucifying gun owners. If you're a gun owner, you're going to hell. If you're a gun owner, you're not a true Christian. I got nothing. I got nothing. I am just, for one, this is not his place to come forward and talk about gun ownership. For two, the church has no right coming forward talking about death and war and murder. That is a playground they do not want to indulge themselves into, because that Catholic Church, the Vatican, is one of the biggest criminal organizations on the planet, right next to good old Uncle Sam, right next to our good old politicians. They will subdue and they will destroy the truth in order for them to satisfy their needs and their agenda. This article enraged me. And I did do some fact checking, and yes, he absolutely did say this. There is about 40 articles instantly right off the bat that came up regarding this little speech that the almighty Pope came forward and bragged about. How many children have been molested from his church? How many priests have committed felony crimes against children but have never served a day in jail or prison? Have never even walked into a courtroom. But yet this guy has the audacity to come forward and to preach this spew. Why don't he worry about fixing this church? Why don't he worry about not being a hypocrite himself and putting his own church right back on the same path? Why don't he get all those priests that have molested and raped children and get them put in prison? Why don't he give back to the people that are starving? Why don't he give back to the billions of dollars that people have given to him and the church and give back to those people? Why don't he walk away from politics, because politics is not his arena? We've said this many times. When you start incorporating church and religion and government, we are doomed, because we're already witnessing it trying to be done today already. We already see Islam trying to come in and implement Sharia law into our judicial system. It's not going to work. It won't happen. Not in my lifetime. Anyways, I had to get that off my chest. This stuff just blows my mind. What I'm seeing today in the news articles, what I'm reading today, and again, believe what you choose to believe when it comes to media. Believe what you choose, because 95% of our media is owned by 6 corporations. So pick and choose very carefully on the information you choose to digest. Because there is a greater agenda here, and this is not a paranoid individual talking. I am just not going to be fooled by what they choose to try to manufacture into our brains into believing. So this brings me on to the next topic. A lot of you have already seen this piece of trash scum lady that was posting pictures of herself wiping her behind with the American flag. So I decided to share something on one of my Facebook pages. I can't remember if it was EBN Talk Radio Facebook page or not, or a different one. And it was showing a video of people. They laid the American flag on the ground and they all started dancing on it and stepping on it and wiping their feet on it. And they did this right in front of a whole bunch of National Guard members. Sickening. Absolutely sickening. Disgusting. Now, these are the people that don't have a job. These are the people that expect everything for nothing. These are the people that have so much time in their life that they can go desecrate the flag in public in front of the people who represent that freedom to do it. Trash. If you do it and you're listening to my voice and you support it, you are trash. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you exactly why I feel so emotional about this. Liberals, listen closely. You need to shake that little I know everything crap out of your freaking heads, because you're an embarrassment to yourself. You're an embarrassment to what's happening today. Do not come on and defend people stating, oh, I love this country because that gives them the freedom to express how they feel. That's part of their right as an American to express and protest and step and piss on the American flag, especially right in front of the ones who are willing to give their life to give you that freedom. When you do this to the American flag, this is exactly where I draw the line on the freedom part. Crap. The United States flag represents everything in which this country was established. Maybe not so much today, because all these entitlement individuals, all these liberals seem to have a different agenda than the patriotic movement. So now I'm going to flip this a little bit. Okay, I get it. People have the right. People have the right to protest. I think they're scum if they stand and desecrate the American flag. Scum. And there's nothing you or anybody in this world could tell me to make me think any differently than this. So let me continue where I'm going with this. Back in 2007 and 2008, you've heard me say before, I started an organization called the American Patriot Riders. True American individuals, hard-working patriots. We were at war. We were at war with Afghanistan and we were at war with Iraq. And we had these scumbags from the Westboro Baptist Church coming up and protesting funerals. Oh, but in order for somebody to get noticed in a protest, they need to go to an event and create disruption within the people so they can get media coverage. Boy, shut your mouth. There's a way, and there's a way to do something, and there's a way to not. So now you're saying, and now you're justifying that it's okay to go to a military funeral where their children are at, their spouses are at, their families are at, and they're about to put somebody they love very much into the ground that just died to give you fools the right to do what you're doing today. And it's okay for you to go to these funerals and tell them, the parents, the children, the family, that their son deserved to die because gay marriage or because you oppose something within our own political system. So you go to a military funeral. This is it. That's their solution. And people believe that they are right when they feel they go to these events and create disruption because they justify that as the way to get the media attention that they need. Now, why don't they get up off their ass? Why don't they go get an education? And why don't they get into the political system and try to make the change they believe in through the political system? Don't be going and dancing and wiping your ass with the American flag in front of National Guard members. Don't be going to military funerals and protesting a military funeral because your little tiny ass brain don't know any other way to do it, nor do you want to get an education to get involved in the politics to go do it. I could not tell you how many funerals I attended, how many bodies I escorted coming off that airplane for the families. I couldn't tell you how many sons and daughters, six-year-olds, seven-year-olds, that I hugged because they just lost their mother or they just lost their father. I couldn't tell you how many parents I had to sit next to while they were burying their child. Not the child that was fighting for a political agenda. Their child who was fighting for a freedom of this country. A freedom that they believed in. Vietnam vets did not fight for politics. World War I and World War II vets did not fight for a political agenda. Men and women in uniform, police officers, firefighters, they do what they do for the people. They do what they do because they believe in something greater than themselves, because they have a set of balls to actually do something. They believe enough to give their own life. They believe enough to give their own life. And when I seen this remark today come back to me telling me that this is the great American right to dance on the American flag, the first person I thought of was my father, who's been shot multiple times, who saw shrapnel in his body, who had to cover himself up in dead bodies for 8 hours in order to survive while he was bleeding out until he was rescued the next day. That's the first person I thought of. This was one person out of the thousands and thousands and thousands of men and women wearing this uniform. One person. And it took my dad years to come forward and share this story with us. And he didn't even tell us. He had to write it down on a piece of paper. He had to write us the story on a piece of paper. He took those bullets. He was not drafted. He went to fight in Vietnam because he believed he was doing something right. Every soldier in our military, they don't go because they like Barack Obama. They're not fighting because they like Hillary Clinton. They're fighting because they believe in which the framers of this country established the laws of this country as a republic. And we are becoming so poisoned by politics. We are going down the same road as we have in history over and over and over again. We are the new Rome. We are about to see the flames of this country. We are rotting from the inside out. It's not the outside sources of enemies that are going to destroy us. It's our own people. It's our very, very own people. So when you come and ask me why am I so diligent on supporting the veterans and the patriotism of this country, this is exactly why. We're forgetting the sacrifices that have been made. We're forgetting it. And now we attack religion. But yet we bring in other hateful religions. Obama, my buddy, who's a disgrace to this country. A disgrace to this country. Had the audacity to say Muslims built the very fabric of our nation. Yes, folks, your president, let me say these exact words again. Muslims built the very fabric of our nation. So exactly what does he mean? How did they build the very fabric of our country? If people do not see what he's doing, if people do not see how he is destroying us, he is poisoning us, he is separating this country. There has not been more racial tension in this country since him and Michelle have been in that office, have been in that White House. There has not been so much racial tension since probably the 60s. He has created this. Michelle has created this. Their little Goombas in office have created this. They want this separation. They want guns to be an issue. They want to take our guns. The less guns on the street, the more control they have over the American people, the less threat of a revolution they will have. They will never take our guns. And I said it in past shows, I support every patriotic movement, period, that supports the constitutionalists. Call me a constitutionalist and I'll stand proud with that tag. So then I go to this. This is where it gets really twisted. This is where I scratch my head and I just don't get it. So it's okay for these libbies and these uneducated people that have never worked a day in their life. It's okay for them to come and to disrupt public events. It's okay for them to come and go to the state fair and lay in the streets and stop traffic and let all these little 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds and families that are completely out of this protest and this movement and just want to spend a beautiful day with their family. It's okay for these protesters to disrupt their life. It's okay for them to step into highways. It's okay for them to create riots. It's okay for them to turn shit upside down all over our country. But the problem here is when somebody of the patriotic movement steps in, when the true patriots come forward and they wave that American flag and they wave and preach about their patriotism and their love for this country and they go and counter protest, well, then that's where it becomes a problem. So do we not see the problem and the divide here when it comes to an unbalanced society? So why is it okay? Why is it okay for the Black Lives Movement matter to disrupt the public? Why is it okay for riots to happen with a certain genre of people? But why is it when they get counter-protested, those counter-protesters are the militia, or they're anti-government, or they hate, and they're the bad person? What makes your protest better than anybody else's? If you're bragging that it's okay to go wipe your ass with the American flag, then why can't somebody protest and say, no, that's not okay to wipe your ass with the American flag? Because my father died for it. My grandfather died for it. My great-grandfather died for it. My mother, my uncle, my whoever. Why is it okay when you protest supporting that flag? You are the bad one. This is how screwed up we are. And people, I become lost for words. They spend so much time on fighting what we shouldn't be fighting against. They close their minds. They create this tunnel vision. They create this tunnel vision of what they choose to see. I had somebody come up and tell me, he said, no matter what, I'm going to vote for a Democrat. And I said, oh, okay. Well, no, that's cool. You're right. It's your right to vote. So let me ask, why exactly are you going to vote for a Democrat, no matter who it is? Who's ever the front runner for the Democratic Party? Why? Well, because they support unions. Okay. So no matter who's running for office, no matter what their political history is, no matter what kind of crimes they've committed in the past, no matter what their voting history is, you're going to vote for a Democrat just because they support unions. And this is it. That kind of wrapped it all up for me, because this is the society we live in today. It's that one thing that they look for, the one that supports their personal gain or their personal agenda, is how they will vote for somebody running for office. And this really bothers me. This really bothers me that every day I turn on the TV and I see all this Donald Trump and I see all this Hillary Clinton and I see all this Jeb Bush and really? How many millions of people live in this country? And this is what we have? We hear more about Megyn Kelly than we do the presidential candidates. Does this not get sickening to anybody? I've been upset the last couple of weeks. I've been literally upset. Sometimes I wish I didn't hear some of the things that I heard. And it's funny because we had that shooting of the reporter last week, God bless her heart. And it's amazing because I questioned the authenticity of that video. And oh boy, did I get messages from that. How disgusting was that? How dare you? And then I was watching other people respond to similar posts, and people were so disgusted because how could they show that right on TV? How can you even replay that? Well, I'm sorry, I didn't see blood spatter. I didn't see the bullet hit the body anywhere. And it's pretty amazing how somebody can get shot point blank with hollow tip bullets and still be able to turn around and run away, especially when you're only 110 pounds. But then again, this is where all the experts come forward. You know, all the people that they research on a computer. Well, bullets go this far, you know, per foot, per second, at this velocity, and this here, and that. Shut up, man. You know, I've seen my friend shot. I've seen my friend stabbed. I have been around this. I don't speak when it comes to gun violence. I don't speak from research I have done on the internet. I speak from firsthand experience. I've seen a good friend of mine, over 300 pounds, took 2 9mm in the stomach. He went down. So, yes, I'm going to question the authenticity of this story. Absolutely, I'm going to. Yes, she lost her life. Tragedy. And I made that very clear. Absolute tragedy. But now this here to the Obama administration is gun violence. But now when you go to Charleston, that was racially motivated. This is the hypocrisy that we are living in. And we're all feeding into it. Well, not all of us. Anybody who's listening to this show is not a victim of our manipulation from our government. Most people that listen to this show are in somewhat of agreeance to some of the things that I talk about. Yeah, and then I just read another story today about a sniper shooting cars on the highway. Well, it's really easy to come up with a story that says that, but they never caught the sniper. They don't even know who he is. Well, there's some marks on a car that resembled what a bullet would do to a vehicle. Well, this is a problem, folks, because here it again, gun issues. We got to get these guns off the streets, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And it's really funny. Again, I'm not taking anything away from the death of this reporter or the cameraman, but I found it funny within less than 12 hours, her quote-unquote fiancé and father were going all over the place doing interviews on Fox 9 and similar networks. And they did not shed one tear. I'm going to tell you something. If I lost my wife or fiance, or if I lost my sister or my brother due to some kind of gun violence, 12 hours later, I'm not going to be running all over the place trying to get my face into the camera. And poor acting, by the way. Extremely poor acting. And boy, the father's diligent. He's going to get guns off the streets. He's already talked to governors, and he's going to partner up. He's going to be part of the A-team, and we're going to clean America up. We're going to take the guns off the street. Watch how vulnerable we become if they try to take the guns off the streets. If we did not have the guns that we had on the streets, we would be completely sitting ducks. And here's another stat that I don't ever see. How many crimes have been prevented because somebody that was legally carrying a firearm, not an illegal gun, how many crimes have been prevented because somebody who was legally carrying a firearm was right there to stop somebody from either getting killed or to stop a burglary? Oh, I'm sorry. We don't publicize those type of statistics, do we? No, we don't. We can't do that because that's going to support the cause of having guns on the streets. Absolutely. But the one thing that does hit the news, of course, is we had a police officer down in Texas who was killed execution style from a thug, from a worthless cockroach thug who killed a police officer just because he was a police officer. Let me ask you, liberals, was that his legal right? Because he's upset, because he's oppressed, because we live in such a radical racial society. So do we have to understand and appreciate his emotions? Is that what we need to do, liberals? We need to understand where he's coming from, because racism is just terrible. Racism was created by our own government, by Al Sharpton, by Farrakhan and his ghoulies. Why is it that Farrakhan can go on stage, on TV, it's all over the internet, why can he call for the deaths of whites and not yet, not once, get any kind of charge of terroristic threats? Why can Farrakhan get away with it? Why can Al Sharpton get on air, get on TV, and promote racism and hatred towards whites, and nothing gets done? But if I went on air and I started preaching hate towards another race, oh, yeah, I forget about it. I'm going to tell you something. I would be crucified in public, and people would love it. They would drool for it. They would pay to see it. This is what we have become. Is this settling in your guys' heads at all? Do you guys feel what I'm saying? So Sheriff Hickman, regarding this massacre, this execution-style murder by a thug, said this: our system of justice absolutely requires law enforcement to be present to protect our community. So at any point when the rhetoric ramps up to the point where calculated, cold-blooded assassinations of police officers happen, this rhetoric has gotten out of control. We've heard Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. Well, cops' lives matter too. So why don't we just drop the qualifier and say lives matter and take that to the bank? Those are the words of Sheriff Hickman. Now, I know, here's another thing that we don't publicize. Here's another thing that we don't put all over the media. Is that this week alone, seven police officers have been murdered or killed in the line of duty. But we don't publicize these facts because that'll get the hearts of people. That'll get the emotions of the people, and it'll start balancing out our society again. And people will start realizing what our police officers are actually going through dealing with these thugs. So in honor to these police officers, in honor to their families and their children, my heart goes out to each and every one of you and your families, your loved ones. And we here at EBN Special Report are honored to have known that we've had such honorable people represent us in the law enforcement community. So with that being said, I'd like to share their names with you. Detention Officer Trinoski Jones. Senior Trooper Stephen Vincent. Sergeant Peggy Basalo. Police Officer Henry Nelson. Trooper James Bava. Trooper Chad H. Wolf. Deputy Sheriff Darren Goforth. We'll be right back, folks. All right, folks, we are back to EBN Special Report. Once again, thank you all so much for tuning in. You can find out all the information on past shows at ebntalkradio.net. We do have the .com, but I'm going to have that forwarded to the .net page. All the ways that you can listen is going to be right there. So again, thank you all so much for tuning in. I just wanted to bring something up really quick. You know, I posted an article on the Facebook page of EBN Talk Radio. It was about in the 1800s, there was a massacre. They claimed it to be one of the largest school massacres in the history of the United States. So I want to do a little bit of research on that. And this was during the time of Sitting Bull. And this was right after Sitting Bull's death. About a week later, a whole bunch of Native Americans were rounded up. A few of them had artillery, rifles. I think there was a total count of about 15 of them. 15 Native Americans had a rifle out of the 200 and some that were rounded up on the reservation. Something happened, and a gunfire erupted, and all the United States soldiers started shooting into the crowd of the Native Americans, and over 200 Native wives, women, men, and children were massacred that day. There was a count of, I believe, 15 or 20 United States soldiers that were killed, but most of that was due towards or from enemy fire. And the United States soldiers that did not die from friendly fire all received awards for heroic actions. And it made me think about something, because it was funny how the entire tribe became disarmed. And then they were rounded up. They were put onto a reservation. And sooner than later, they were massacred and killed because they were disarmed. And I thought that was really relevant to a lot of things that we're talking about today. So if you do want to read that story, the article that I posted was actually, did it happen at a school? What was the truth behind the story compared to what this meme represented that was going around Facebook stating that it was the largest school shooting? So it did not happen at a school. It actually happened on a reservation. So I found that to be really interesting. One thing I want to talk about right now is I want to bring up illegal immigration. Again, we were having a conversation the other day, me and a couple friends of mine, and I had a question. Because a lot of you know that 22 veterans die a day. 22 veterans die a day from suicide, from post-traumatic stress disorder. And again, now that you guys know that I got a little bit of a history working with our veterans, we know their struggles when it comes to getting medical services at the VA. My dad goes to the VA, and the only thing they ever want to do with my dad is keep putting pills down his throat. Every time he goes to the VA, there's a new medication he comes home with. He don't take 90% of them, but they basically want to turn my father into a zombie. They want to put him on like a Valium or a clonazepam, similar to a Xanax, and they want to put him on all these antidepressant pills. My dad's not depressed. My dad don't have anxiety issues. They just try to turn you into a zombie. They just keep forcing these medications down their throat. And again, these doctors, they get paid for what they describe. So don't be fooled by the game. And I know last week I was going to talk about the whole ADHD thing, and the doctor that came up with the diagnosis actually said it was a false flag. They used the ADHD symptom just to get kids on medications at a younger age to become more medically dependent or pain pill or medication dependent as they grow up, because the pharmaceutical industry is a $1 trillion industry. So why is it that veterans are dying every day? Why is it that when a veteran needs to get into the VA, they get put onto a waiting list? Sometimes it takes 3 to 4 to 5 months for them to get in to see the doctor. But yet, people that are illegally in this country get better medical benefits than our veterans do. Why is it that 22 veterans can die a day, but we don't hear about this in the mainstream media, but we hear about everything that these illegal immigrants are entitled to? They get driver's licenses. They can vote. We have sanctuary cities where they're safe. And I'm not just talking about Mexican illegal immigrants, or I'm not talking about South American illegal immigrants. We're constantly driven down our throat about the Social Security system, but we never hear about our welfare system going bankrupt. Because this country is a welfare state, the entire country. the entire country. And let me explain why. And again, I posted an article on another blog page I have, ebntalkradio.wordpress.com. It was the first article that I posted on this blog page, because usually I have the rockystucci.wordpress.com. And what this basically was a breakdown of those on welfare, whether they be Americans or foreigners, with all the benefits that they get and what they average per hour, if you added all the monetary things together, whether it be the medical, whether it be housing, whether it be food stamps, if you add all these together, this is how much they get paid an hour. I'm going to start with the number 10. The state of Maryland, the average individual on welfare averages $18.35 an hour, or $38,000 a year in benefits. Number 9, New Hampshire. The average of $19.11 an hour, or $39,700 a year. Number 8, Vermont, $20.36 an hour, the average, or $42,000 a year. Number 7 is Rhode Island, the average of $20.83 an hour, or $43,000 a year, and I'm rounding the yearly amount. Number 6 is New Jersey, $20.89 an hour, or $43,400 a year in income. Number 5, New York. I wanted to say New York. New York is $21 an hour, or an average of $43,700 a year. Number 4, Connecticut, $21.33 an hour, or an average of $44,370 a year. Number 3, Massachusetts, the average of $24 an hour, or a yearly income of $50,500. Number 2, District of Columbia, D.C., hourly rate, $24.43 an hour, or a yearly income of $50,800, or $50,800. And the number 1 welfare state for an on average hourly rate would be Hawaii. The people on welfare in Hawaii average, with all their benefits combined, $29 an hour. $29 an hour, or a yearly income of $60,500. Now, to all my friends out there that work, that have an income, how does that make you feel? Where you got to work 50, 60 hours a week. I work 50, 60 hours a week at my job. Every paycheck that I have around $1,200 taken out in taxes and 401. The 401 is only $143. The rest is federal, state. To barely make it. To always seem like we're just making it. At the end of the year, we're still paying in taxes. To the people in the welfare system that don't... here's my question. Why would you want to get a job? Why would you want to work? When you're making an average of $20 an hour without having to do a damn thing, why would you want to do anything? I mean, hell, you got the best medical in the world. You got better medical than the people dying for this country. You got better medical than our veterans do. Your medical is almost just as good as a politician's. Why would you want to do anything? Why would you want to work when you're averaging $20 an hour of free money, of free government money? Why would you want to work when you're averaging $50,000 a year plus for doing nothing? And at the end of the year, when you file your taxes, you get that earned income credit or your child tax credit. Some of these people on welfare, some of these people that I personally know, they make anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 returns at the end of the year. These are people that have not worked all year. They have not done anything except collect benefits, and then they still get a $10,000 to $15,000 return at the end of the year. So when you hear that the middle class is under attack, they absolutely are. They absolutely are. It's so discouraging to know that I work so hard. I come home. I do this network. I do my radio shows because I believe in effort. I believe in working hard. I believe that in order to be something or someone, you need to get up off your ass and do it. And it's so discouraging that there's people out there that get everything handed to them. And yet those are the loudest ones. Those are the ones protesting. Those are the ones that claim they don't have enough. Those are the ones that want more for nothing. And yet I make damn good money. And yet there are still months where we had to figure out ways just to make it. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel when people are averaging? $20 an hour, $20.83, $20.89, $21, $24. I mean, how does it make you feel when somebody's averaging $29 an hour and not doing a damn thing in their life? Why would they have motivation to want to do anything? Why would they want to go to school? Why would they want to go out there and get educated to only find a job for $14 an hour, $13 an hour? How many people out there know people or you that are working two jobs just to make it? Just to make it. You know, and then everybody's talking about this whole $15 an hour minimum wage. Let's give them $15 minimum wage. And this is the funniest part is that I'm watching people just go back and forth in these deliberations because, you know, the money starts at the bottom and filters its way up. It don't start from the top and come down. Absolutely it does. Of course it starts at the bottom. I mean, we are the ones that finance the corporations. The corporations and banks would be nothing without us. But the funniest part now is that these people who got this bump, like in Seattle, they get bumped up to $15 an hour. Well, now here's what they're doing. They're asking for less hours. They're asking for less hours because they have just broken that threshold. Because if you make $15 an hour, all of a sudden you don't get those food stamps. All of a sudden you're at risk of losing your free medical. I'm sorry, it's not free. You got to pay a doctor to go in for a full-blown back surgery. That costs you a dollar. A doctor's appointment costs you a dollar, maybe $1.20. But once they hit that $15 an hour mark, all of a sudden they're at risk of losing. So now they don't want to work as much. So where do we win? Where do we win? Where does the lower class find this ambition to get up off their ass and do something? This is what I say all the time. All these people marching, all these Black Lives Matter people, these people that are at the state fair yesterday, all these people that are stopping highways and stopping streets, 90% of them don't even work. Why should they? They're making $15, $20 an hour for doing nothing. We are being molded and created to be these zombies of society. We are exactly where we're supposed to be when it comes to those one percenters. These corporations and these banks, they absolutely love it. And of course, we keep hearing about Social Security system. The Social Security system is going to go bankrupt because they're going to make it go bankrupt. The part of the bigger plan is they're going to make the Social Security system go bankrupt because then they can privatize it. Then corporations and banks can own our Social Security and they can make a profit off of it. Now, here's some more information. This may throw you off just a little bit. Any of you out there who have a 401k system, yes, the 401k system where we rely on the stock market. So if we do go into this big economical crash, if China's stock market collapses, we're going to collapse. And all of us middle class individuals who have a 401, a retirement, to where we completely trust and rely on the stock system, we will lose everything. The lower class, the ones that are making free money, they're not going to lose anything. They don't have nothing invested. The government will continue to take care of them. The wealthy, they'll be just fine. They're going to wait till the stocks go completely down to pennies on the dollar, and they're just going to invest millions, and they're going to make billions. But it's going to be the middle class. It's going to be the middle class. They're going to lose their 401. They're going to lose their retirement. They're going to lose everything, and they're going to have to start over from scratch if our economy collapses. Now, I'm going to give you some information here. Does this bother you to know that the companies that handle your 401, the companies that handle your 401, by the time you retire and you get penalized for spending your retirement money, the money you invested that you're going to get penalized for and you're going to get taxed twice on, does it not bother you that the people that handle your 401 will make three times the amount of money on your 401 than you will when you retire? Is this not a disturbing fact to people? So the people that are handling our 401 will make three times the amount of money than you will when you retire. And we work so hard because we believe in our retirement. And people are becoming rich off of us. And we struggle every day. We struggle every day, every week, every month, every year. How many times do we sit back and say, God, I don't know how we made it through last year. Man, I don't know. It was a tough one. Whew. Boy, that was a tough one. Almost lost our house. Almost lost the one vehicle that we have. Man, it was a tough year. Well, people that don't work are carrying around cell phones. They're getting $700 in groceries in one pop, eating T-bone steaks, driving around Cadillacs. This is the society that is being created. This is a society that is disturbing me. Prisoners get better benefits than those in elderly homes, in nursing homes. If you go put somebody in the nursing home, that's going to cost you about $4,000 a month for minimum treatment. They'll put you in bed at 7. You'll get medication shoved down your throat. Maybe you'll get a couple showers a week. But prisoners, again, most of the population, 40% of the population, illegal immigrants. Most of the federal warrants out today, illegal immigrants. Most of the people wanted for capital murder, illegal immigrants. So when they do get incarcerated and not let back out on the streets, they're going to get three hot meals a day. They're going to get full medical. They're going to get a nice warm bed. They're going to get rec time. They're going to get treated as kings. Why would people in this country be afraid to go to prison? Why would they be afraid to go to prison? What's so frightening about it? I've been locked up plenty of times. Boy, it was a great time. Got to play basketball, met a lot of people, played a lot of cards, did nothing, got fed, got my medications. Where's the fear? There is no fear. And this is the system. This is what I keep trying to talk about every week. And I hope that I'm getting into somebody's brain in this society. I'm not a paranoid, delusional schizophrenic who thinks the entire world is out to get them. I'm not thinking that the government wants everybody dead. The Georgia Guidestones only, so many people can be on this earth at one time. I'm not like that. But I'm not an idiot. I'm not a fool. I come from the streets. I know the streets. I fought wars on the streets. I've seen blood. I've seen death. I've seen people killed. I've seen people kill themselves. I've seen the horrors of our system, and I've seen the people benefit from the system who do absolutely nothing. So I'm not speaking of research I've done. I'm not speaking about a statistic that I found online. I'm speaking from real life. Like I said earlier, I've been at the funerals of the veterans. I've been at funerals of my friends. I've been at the funerals of loved ones. I've had family murdered. I know the pain, and I know the horror, and I see the struggle every day. I see it. I feel it. I chose to walk away from that life. We can keep ourselves victimized and play that card if we want. We can say, well, we were from this neighborhood. There's no way we can ever get out of this neighborhood. We can continue to play victim. We'll remain the victim. Our lives and the way we choose to think will have the exact same outcome. If you feel trapped, if you act trapped, if you want to say that you're a product of your past, you will always be a product of your past. If I was able to get up off my ass and walk away from that kind of lifestyle, anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. So yes, I like to say I'm spiritual, but I'm willing to fight a damn fight. If I was willing to invest so much time in the crap I've done in my past, why wouldn't I want to do it now? Why wouldn't I be willing and brave enough to stand for the innocent people who were too afraid to talk? I'm not afraid to say our government is corrupt. I'm not afraid to say that Obama is a scum and should be in prison. I'm not afraid to say Hillary should be in prison. I'm not afraid to say George Bush should be in prison. I'm not afraid to say that the clowns running to run this country right now are a bunch of criminals and thugs. They all have an agenda. And the only reason people are afraid of Donald Trump is because Trump is in nobody's pocket. That's why everybody's so afraid. If Trump gets into office, he is going to completely destroy the game that is being played for the last 20 years. He is going to create a disruption, and I have a feeling it's going to take a lot for Trump to bend over and take one of those payments. Because it's okay now that our government takes payments. I mean, they announce it. They write articles about it. Hey, it's okay. They got $2 million for a yes vote. That's okay. Majority rules, right? But let's just pretend it's not happening. Let's pretend everything is okay. Let's just hope that tomorrow exists and we can go to our work and we can work our same miserable job and we can come home and barely make our bills and we can be okay with everybody protesting in the streets and disrupting innocent family lives. And let's just, as long as it don't happen to us, right, liberals? As long as it don't happen to us. But what are you going to do when the fight is on your front door? What are you going to do when it's right there in front of you and you actually have to do something? Are you going to be willing to fight, or are you going to go hide in your little corner? Are you going to go hide in your basement and pray to God that the people that you hated upon the last 3 years will come and save your sorry ass? Because it's always different when it happens to you. Then things will change, right? Casualties of war. People believe it's okay for these young innocent women to be raped because it's a casualty of war, but if it happened to them and they were raped, or their daughter was raped, or their niece was raped, oh, hell no. Call the National Guard. The world needs to know about this atrocity. This is the hypocrisy we live in, and I'm fed up with it. I'm tired, and I'm sick of it. And I'll tell you, you know what? All these libs out there, and all these protesters, and all these thugs out on the streets think their voices are loud enough to be heard. Watch how they react when they get counter-protested. Because then they will have met their match. Watch the liberals fall to their knees when somebody's protesting against something that they choose not to believe in. Because they will not know how to handle it, period. You know, we can only hope for the best, I guess. Be willing to fight when the fight's there. Be willing to be political when you need to be political. But most of all, we need to make sure our children have a future. Because one way or the other, folks, we're going to go down in history. And let's just hope it's not the wrong end of history. Let's just hope there's not going to be blood because of the decisions that we can make today to give our children a better tomorrow. So with that, folks, we are at the end of the hour. And I will continue to fight for those without a voice. I'll continue to fight for those who have given so much for the freedoms that we have today. And again, my heart goes out to all the families of the police officers that were fallen this week, all the soldiers that died this week, all the innocent people around the world that died this week. They'll always be in my prayers, and I'll always be a voice for them. So until next week, folks, you're listening to Rocky Stucci, EBN Special Report. From my family to yours, much love and much respect. Good night, folks. When it comes crashing down.